We have now arrived at the sixth commandment in the catechism. We have finished commandments 1 through 5. So we are on question number 67, which is the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. What is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. 69, what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly, or whatsoever tends thereunto. All lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. What is the principle that stands behind the sixth commandment? The positive principle is the sanctity of human life. All human life is sacred. So while you can go deer hunting, while you can skin a raccoon and make a hat out of it like Davy Crockett did, while you can stomp on the cockroach that's running across the kitchen floor, human life is different than other forms of life. Yes, you can go fishing, and you can catch fish, and you can eat the fish. Yes, you can go to the grocery store, and you can buy a chicken, or a ham, or beef. All of that is permitted. Human life is set apart. It's set apart. It is of distinctive sanctity and dignity. So we looked at that in the earlier catechism when we were looking at creation. How did God create man? God created man, male and female. This question 10, in his own image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness with dominion over the creatures. That's where we began to talk about the sanctity of human life. All human life is sacred. From when to when? From conception to death. From conception to death. From the moment of conception until the day that one dies, one's life is sacred. So we are to take all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life. We may not take our own life. We're to preserve our own life. So what kind of lawful endeavors, what might we be talking about? Well, I think it means a number of different things. It means that we are moderate. We are moderate in our in the way that we go about living. Moderate, for example, in our food consumption. We don't eat gluttonously. We don't overeat so as to put on excessive amounts of weight and impair our health by doing so. So we live lives of moderation. If I am one who drinks alcoholic beverages, I drink them in moderation, never into excess, never to drunkenness, because that will damage my body. That puts my life at risk when I am drunken. I am vulnerable to accidents. And in the long haul, I'm going to do damage to my body when I drink to excess. So the sanctity of human life requires that I live life in a way that preserves that life, that extends that life. It means that I take necessary precautions to preserve and protect that life and the life of others. So I drive safely, for example. I'm careful about life. I don't put myself necessarily in dangerous positions. Why? Because I regard human life as sacred. Because life itself is sacred. Life itself is a gift. Human life is a gift that needs to be preserved, cherished, protected, guarded. All human life, my life, the life of my neighbor, the life of my fellow church member. We are made in the image of God. We are different than bugs and little furry animals and barnyard animals. We or the fishes of the sea. The human life in the image of God, male and female, with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, is sacred. And so it is to be protected. It is to be guarded. So all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the lives of others. So I take all precautions, all reasonable precautions. Doesn't mean that I become paranoid. The man in the book of Proverbs who won't go outside of his house because he's so frightened about any dangers he might encounter. There may be a lion in the square, he says. So he doesn't even venture out of his doors because he's so terrified of possible dangers that he may encounter out there in the world. No, we take reasonable precautions. We live lives of moderation so as to preserve and to protect human life because of such respect that we have for it. It means, continuing with the negative, forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of a neighbor unjustly or whatsoever tends thereunto. That means that, let me put an equal sign, not. It means I'm not to live recklessly. I shouldn't be taking unnecessary risks. As a Christian, out of respect for human life, I'm not a daredevil. And there are people who put their lives unnecessarily at risk. They are doing things that are extremely dangerous and unnecessary. Why they are doing them, they alone know. Heaven alone knows. They may not even know themselves why they are insisting on dangerous mountain climbing, for example, or dangerous racing of automobiles, as another example, or dangerous rock climbing. You know, I saw a documentary not too long ago about a man who climbed El Capitan in Yosemite without any ropes, just his own fingers and toes, right up the sheer face of that rock. At any moment, he would have fallen thousands of feet to his death. I got questions about that. That to me is an unnecessary endangering of life. Life, which is the only life that you have. Life that you are putting at risk by what you're doing. I don't think that that one could justify that by any criteria of which I'm aware. So out of respect for human life, we live moderately. We take reasonable precautions. We don't live recklessly. We don't undertake unnecessary risks out of the respect for the sanctity of human life. For what it forbids, we want to be more clear about this. I want to list a whole series of things. One, suicide. No, you do not have the right to take your own life. You say, well, it's my life. No, it's not. God gave it to you. Your life is a gift to you. You are not your own. God has made you. You are His. Moreover, as a Christian, the Apostle Paul adds, 1 Corinthians 6:19, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. See, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So you have obligations. You have a responsibility to make the most of that life that you have, to use it to the glory of God, and not to throw it away because in despair you abandon all hope and terminate your own life. That which is the greatest gift that God gives you, your life, to throw it away by taking your own life is forbidden. And to take your own life is the ultimate act of rebellion against God, from which there can be no repentance. And this is the danger of it. You are engaging in that act from which there can be no repentance because the act itself terminates your life. And so there's no time for repentance. And it is the ultimate abandonment of duty and it's a selfish act in that it leaves everyone else up to pick up all the pieces that you leave behind, often emotionally devastated by the act itself. Okay, so it prohibits suicide. It prohibits murder. What is murder? Murder is the unjust taking of another person's life. So the catechism is questioned and is careful in its language. The taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly. The unjust taking of my neighbor's life. Unjustly taking my neighbor's life is murder. Now, this does not prohibit, on the other hand, Christians involved in warfare or police activity, which involves lethal use of force or self-defense. Those are not murder. That is the just. In a just war, you have hostile neighbors who are crossing borders in order to do harm, and it's lawful to protect oneself and use lethal force to do so. Police officers are, again, they are protecting citizens from bad guys that are not crossing borders but are within the borders. And so lethal force may be used there too to protect the innocent. Back to Romans 13, God places the sword in the hand of the civil government, and they're to wield that sword into protecting the innocent and punishing the unrighteous, the unjust. So those are not murder. And the Bible permits these things. You can be a soldier. You can be a Marine. You can be a sailor. You can be in the Air Force, involved in the defense of the innocent. So, but murder, the unjust, the wrongful taking of another person's life, that is prohibited. Okay, another thing that is forbidden, abortion. Abortion is prohibited. Why? Because human life begins at conception. There isn't any question about this. Look, if you get in an argument with somebody about abortion, the debate is not about when human life begins. There is no question that the product of human conception, the union of the male and the female seed, that's a human life. It's not animal life. It's not plant life. It's not a rock or a mineral. What's the product of human conception is human. Of course it is. That is biologically irrefutable. The problem, the real question is, from the point of conception to the point of death, say the age of 95, that's a continuum. Any break in that line is the taking of a human life unjustly, and it's an arbitrary line. So our Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision separates the time within the womb into three trimesters and allows different degrees and access to abortion, theoretically it does, but not in actuality, according to the trimester. Well, each one of those lines is completely arbitrary. You have a unique genetic code. This is a distinctive human being. This is distinctive life. This is not the tissue of the mother. This is foreign tissue. It's the tissue of the child. So the Sixth Commandment, because of all human life is sacred, abortion is prohibited. Euthanasia. Compound Greek word, eu meaning good, and thanatos meaning death, good death. This is the taking of another person's life because they are injured or elderly. So it is supposedly a good death. It is escaping the natural process of dying. Is that permitted? The answer would have to be no. Taking active measures in order to take the life of another person, even if they're suffering, even if they're aging, is not permitted. Why? Because human life is sacred. Because once we cross that line, we have put ourselves in the place of God. And we can't afford to cross that line because the line is an arbitrary line. And so one arbitrary death may lead to another arbitrary death about those who are even yet more suited to continuation, the continuation of life. Here, under the category of murder, we should also put capital punishment. Is not prohibited by this commandment. It's clear in the laws of Israel. There were capital offenses. You kill somebody, this is a universal commandment. that we find in Genesis chapter 9, where God says, if you shed man's blood by man, your blood shall be shed, for man is made in the image of God. In other words, the ultimate crime, the taking of another human life, requires the ultimate penalty, because that's the way you reinforce the seriousness of the offense, and the seriousness of the offense is wrapped up in the fact that man is made in the image of God. If you shed man's blood by man, your blood shall be shed by the civil authorities, for man is made in the image of God. So the principle behind the application of the sixth commandment is all human life is sacred. It's to be guarded. It's to be protected. We're to take reasonable precautions to preserve that our lives. We're not to live recklessly. It forbids suicide. It forbids murder. It forbids abortion. It forbids euthanasia. While at the same time, in the name of protecting human life, it does allow warfare, police forces, self-defense, and capital punishment.